Welcome to the Barrel Chat Podcast, where we provide an unfiltered look into the craft beer industry from the untrained palates of two dumbass outsiders. I am Matthew Muncy, and as always, I am joined by Dustin Wood. Dustin, this is podcast number two for the evening because we like to stack these boys together because we have families and not a lot of time on our hands. So we just got done recording Blood Tracks, which happened last week.
Yeah.
Episode wise, which the last time we did this, we lost an entire episode.
Yeah, that was fun.
Because I was dumb. But we can't, I mean, unless we just, technically, if we lose an entire episode this time, this just won't come out. But hopefully everybody listened to Blood on the Tracks. I keep calling it Blood Tracks. Blood on the Tracks from Chili Water. That was last week's episode. But how we doing? How we feeling?
I feel good.
Yeah.
It was a good beer. The one beer always gives you that, like, little bit of the just fuck it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, now let's fucking swing for the fences.
A lot of people have said that our second podcast, you know, basically every other week, that podcast sounds a little bit better. We sound a little bit looser. And I do think that that is what's happening. A lot of times, too, we will drink a beer in between the shows. This week, we are recording three because of some busy life going on over the next couple of weeks. And so we're going to stick with that because this next one is a big bitch. And so this week we got it pretty easy. But before we jump into that show, if you are a new listener, follow us on Instagram. We are at Barrel Chat.
If you're a new listener, thank you.
Yeah, that too. Thank you for tuning in. But you can follow us on Instagram. We are at Barrel Chat. That's where we post everything about the episodes. Easy to go back and find all the old ones as well on our podcast app. And then you know, you'll see mostly stories. We mostly post stories about what we're drinking throughout the week. And then on Fridays, we do our Friday 4-pack where we kind of recap what we've been drinking during the week. And then some news stories, stuff like that. So check us out there. If you do love our podcast, please take a moment to leave us a rating on your favorite podcast app. So whichever one you're listening to right now. I see a lot of people listen on Spotify. So if one of you who are listening on Spotify, leave us a rating. Nobody's left us one yet.
And put us on auto download, y'all.
Yeah, that supposedly helps. So that would be nice. We also love to hear from you if there's a particular beer that you think we should review. So anything in Indiana that we can get our hands on, even if it's out of state, or if you got something you want to share with us that you've maybe brought back from another state and you think that that we would like and you want to just share it with the world, let us know. Like Social Project, I honestly think those are the cool ones. And yep. And Foreign Local, like being an indie version of that, is to me like the cool things of like, go try this. Science Project, another one. Go try this. Look at this shit. You know, like it's when you're an indie, you're kind of in a cocoon.
Yeah, we have 90 breweries right here. Why the fuck would I drive to Logan's?
Yeah, well, but a lot of the
they're interesting, and because they do different things, and because you can't get them here. So get up there, get your happy asses up there, enjoy the beer, enjoy the little last cities, get dinner there with your wife or girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever it may be, and enjoy the atmosphere because it's different than being an indie. It's a unique situation, and you might never get that beer again, ever.
Yeah. Maybe don't go during a tornado like I did when I went to Foreign Local, but otherwise, I would suggest.
Side note, I did find out that Foreign Local is in 18th Street's old Sour Note building.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, so that's where the sour facility was.
Interesting. So this week, we are doing a beer that doesn't. You just found this at Total Wine?
Yeah, I think it just happened to be, there was like 2 4-packs, and I was like, ooh, that price is really high. Like, fuck it.
How much?
You don't want to know.
I mean, I think it's good for the listeners, you know, because I assume it's at least $20.
$32 a 4-pack.
What the fuck?
But I was there literally to buy interesting beers, and I know Mortalis makes fucking awesome beer, and the can work alone, we'll talk about it here in a minute, but the can work alone made me pick it up and go, yep, fuck it. Like, just going to buy it. If it's bad, it's bad. I just wasted it, whatever. But I knew it wasn't going to be bad. And that's total wine price, so I can only imagine that other places are going to be more.
Makes me wonder what they sell it for at the brewery then, because that's $8 a can, which is a... I want to say it's a lot, but I also know that with all the adjunct they put in these damn things, that...
Well, and the rare, the amount they probably brewed, the amount they distroed, you have to take all that into factor too.
Yeah, I know. It's
stupid expensive.
Everything is just going up, and it just sucks.
It does.
A lot.
But it was one that I looked at, and I went, okay, first, the can is fucking beautiful. Second, it's rated super high on everything I looked at. Mortalis is rated super high on everything I looked at. So, fuck it. I'll spin the wheel.
Don't blame you there. So, as he mentioned, this is Mortalis Brewing Company. They're a microbrewery out of Avon, New York. I have absolutely no idea where the hell Avon, New York is. I didn't look it up. But that is where they're at. On Untappd, their brewery has an overall rating of 4.33. And their tagline is, "We believe that beer is about human connection, a connection that we are all mortals in this realm with stories to tell, dreams to live, and beers to share. We are all Mortalis."
It is also in collaboration with Two Tides Brewing, and it looks like Two Tides is out of Savannah, Georgia. They have...
That's a long way away to do a...
They have a 4.0 on Untappd out of 84,000 individual check-ins. As far as the reviews are concerned, they have a pretty solid following as far as reviews as well. Looks like a lot of fours, fives, four and a half, so on. So again, really it stands up to what you would expect to be a good something, whether it's a beer, we'll find out.
So this place, looking through the beers, they do make normal beers, but this looks like a big fruited smoothie sour establishment.
Yep.
So this is akin to the 450 North and the Hoosier Brewing Company here in Indiana, the two that I'm aware of. I don't know if anybody else is out there making them like that, but that's kind of what you have to look forward here. So kind of just a general recap. The last time we did one of these was a Hoosier Brewing win to spin payout beer. We ended up not ranking it because of some various reasons. And then, so we'll see. We're still kind of hit or miss on this. We'll see how this one kind of comes out, as I've never had it before, and I don't think Dustin has either. But just to kind of give you a heads up, we'll see how this goes at the end. But that is kind of where we went down the road the last time. The beer name is Hydra Fluff Motif. And it seems like Hydra is the, what'd you say, the house beer name, basically?
So it's their base name for the sours.
Yeah, because then it's whatever that straight line, I don't know what that character is called, but that's what separates it. And then Fluff Motif is the sub name of it. This beer style was listed as a fruited kettle sour.
Yep.
7% ABV. Big question is, do we think that's real?
Yes.
Yeah. More of a joke, but
from this brewery, yes. I believe they have a scientist on board that could figure that shit out.
Has a 4.52 rating on Untappd. This fruit smoothie sour was brewed in collaboration with Two Tides Brewing. It blends pineapple, strawberry, mango, marshmallow, and all three flavors of sorbet powder. Should have looked that up. Together to form just one of this monster's many heads. Oh, I get it. Okay. Keep your eyes peeled for even more flavor combinations.
So sorbet powder is exactly like it sounds. It's just like powder. It's the flavor that you make sorbet with.
Oh, okay.
So like packets, basically. I mean, I'm sure it's in buckets or some shit for this volume, but if you were to want to make sorbet or ice cream in your house, you would get little mix kits, and that'd be what that is.
Didn't know that. All right.
Greg's beer, or I guess Hoosier's beer, I think had... Or they make some that, not that Philly, but they make some that have soft serve ice cream powders in them, I believe.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that was a thing, to be honest. All right, can design time.
You start.
All right, the non-design guy. So they mention here, you know, together to form just one of those monster's many heads. So there's three dragon heads on the front of this. So it clearly has a very fantasy Game of Thrones style theme to it. It's kind of just a night sky, but then everything is, I don't even know what you would call this style. It's like a, almost like AutoCAD drawing.
Like line art.
Yeah. Okay. So line art. So AutoCAD, if you're really nerdy and you don't know anything about drawing. And then they each have like a different, you know, kind of flame coming out, but it's different colors. And it feels like those represent sort of what, you know, what's in the spear. Cause one is yellow and orange. One is like two versions of red, like a pinkish red and a normal red. And then the other one is like dark orange, yellow, a little bit of orange, some white. So, you know, just kind of getting the little bit of everything that was in this. Again, it's pineapple, strawberry, mango, and marshmallow, and then the sorbets. It's a clean can. It's definitely one that pops.
Oh, yeah.
It is definitely one that is going to pop right off the shelf. You're going to pick it up. You're going to turn it around, and you're going to see what it is. I do not see... So it does just, it says sour ale, and then obviously brewed with everything. The thing I don't like, and just making sure I'm not missing it, nowhere on here does this say this is a smoothie sour. So if I bought this myself and didn't look it up, I would kind of hate that I bought it. So that kind of, like, that kind of sucks. Like, if you're going to make a smoothie sour, put on here that it's a smoothie sour. So that way I know what I'm buying. Because I personally am not interested in these beers, especially at $32. But, like, this sounds phenomenal, you know?
I think I agree that they should put what style it is. It should have said a fruited kettle sour, smoothie style fruited kettle sour or something.
Yeah, I mean, it just needs to say, just add smoothie sour ale. Everybody's going to know what the fuck that is at this point.
But I will say that if you know anything about Mortalis.
Yeah, but the problem is I don't.
Yeah, I know, but that I think they do that, and they may not distribute like widely, or they just started distributing widely. I don't know, but
it's one of those where.
Oh yeah, it's like the lacto thing. You need to put it on the can.
In the world of marketing, you have to dumb it down. And you know, I guess in one way it doesn't matter because it's like you got your money, or you know, you distribute it, and then they're gonna come back to you and be like, "Oh, that sold well," and you're gonna have someone who now knows, you know, maybe not to buy those cans, but you know, it just would be nice. It would be nice. I think it's a great can. All the font and stuff is super legible. It's clean. It's got it all nice and compact on the side there where, you know, it's got the ABV and all the ingredients and everything else. And so that's nice, you know, just to be able to spin it around. You get all the information you need. You got the can art that stands out on a shelf very easily, and you're good to go.
So jumping into a little bit of like just generic details, 16 ounce bright can, stick and peel label, much like the previous one, much like a lot of your cans are now. Full wrap starts, let's start where they don't meet in the middle. It's kind of broken down in a nice way here. Really designerly, it's got the name, it's got what it is. It's got 16 ounces, 7% ABV. You know, keep cold, drink fresh, don't age, blah, blah, blah. Then you spin it into the actual dragon itself, the three-headed monster. Like Matt said, some awesome colors. Almost looks a little watercolor to an extent. Looks like it's bleeding a little bit like a watercolor in the dragon's like fire breath. Beautiful color waves. The dragons on the black background look like, hang with me, there's this thing you used to have as a kid that was a black piece of like paper that had like this weird wax shit on it that you would scrape off to make a design. I don't remember what it was called, but I remember playing with it as a kid. That's what this feels like. So it's like they etched this onto a black paper with like an X-Acto knife, and the tin comes out behind it. So it's a fine line art. It's got some stippling in the background to show what I assume would be like clouds. So stippling is like points for those that aren't aware of the word. But the two graphics for the names, the Myrtalis and then the two tides, are also in that like shiny metallic like silver. I think this can's beautiful. I literally picked the can up because I thought it was beautiful. I would buy it again, sheerly for the cans. But we'll find out what the liquid is like. But overall, the can design, 10 out of 10 in my books. You know, they could put the, you know, with it, it's a smoothie sour on it. But as far as appearance goes, I mean, this is higher than, or at least up there with some of those Indiana City cans back when they were doing that, like, the artist series.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely 10 out of 10 on can design. I absolutely love everything about that can. We'll see how I feel about this beer. Jumping into the BJCP beer style guidelines, if you're new to the show, we use the four steps here, which is appearance, aroma, flavor, and mouthfeel. And this is handed down by the BJCP to just kind of go through what a fruited kettle sour should taste like. Now, obviously, especially with beers like this, you are deviating so far from the path that you don't even really come close to the BJCP, but we can at least try and use them since we are not brewers. We're kind of guessing at this point of what certain things are supposed to taste like, so that's why we use these handy-dandy guidelines to, no pun intended, guide us through this beer review. Yeah, that rhymed.
You're a poet.
So the overall impression, this is kind of what you would expect from a fruited kettle sour. A pleasant integration of fruit with beer, but still recognizable as beer. A pale, refreshing sour beer with a clean lactic sourness. A gentle pale malt flavor supports the lemony sourness with moderate fruity esters. So
it's not going to be that.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to match really any of that. So I guess we should maybe caveat this. If you've never seen a smoothie sour, this is what all the big hubbub was with 450 North is slushy series. That's a smoothie sour. And then all of the stuff that Hoosier Brewing's putting out in cans right now is basically all smoothie sours.
If you're not from this area, places like Tripping Animals in Florida, shit, they're all over the place. But those are the big dogs, I'd guess, as far as like known here. But I think what Matt's getting at is they're basically like fruit juice.
They look like fruit juice. They're heavily fruited. And you know, some of them have a lot of floaties, a little bit of chunkiness. They can kind of look gross. It is a flavor that apparently is, from what I have read and listened to on some YouTube videos and podcasts and stuff, it is a profile that is bringing in non-beer drinkers.
Yep.
I don't know how you are transitioning them into an actual beer drinker from this, but it's at least getting them in the door. And at a certain point, maybe it just doesn't fucking matter, because if they're coming back and buying this, you're still making money. And I guess it helps to maybe bring a friend who doesn't necessarily like beer.
I mean, I've personally gotten 2, 3, 4 people that didn't either drink beer or only drink like Bud Lights and stuff to drink these and like regular sours. And it's just, like you said, it's an easy transition into this industry, but it gives them something to drink that if they go to a brewery with a friend and they see a fruited sour, even if it's not a smoothie style, they'll probably enjoy it.
All right, so let's jump into appearance. The color of special ingredients should be evident in lighter colored beer, including in the head. The beer is very pale, ranging from clear to somewhat hazy, with a large, dense, white head with poor retention and is effervescent. That doesn't match any of this.
Okay.
This is going to look just like fruit juice. So if you like a fruited smoothie is what that's what you need to think of when you're thinking it in your brain right now, listening to this on your ride to work or whatever, think of a fruit smoothie. That's what this looks like.
Okay, so it pours really thick, kind of gloopy, if that's the best word for it. It's a deep orange. Like, this is what I wanted the last one to look like. Like, that, not like this like thickness, but this color. Like, this is a blood orange color. It is very reminiscent of like mango juice or like the nectar of a mango. And it poured two finger head at the beginning that really bubbled down into these really strange big bubbles.
Like, is yours like that on the head?
Mine was. It died off. But yeah,
I don't like it.
It's super strange. It's like huge big bubbles that like conglomerate into this like,
it almost looks
mass,
like
mass big sticky looking bubbles.
It almost looks like curdled.
Yeah.
Like when milk curdles. That's kind of, like, it's not, but that's kind of the look to it. And I it is really off-putting because you have to look at it every time you go to take a drink.
But it also sits on the glass, so it does leave like a blanket of like a fine residue of sediment on the glass as you drink it down as well. So it is thick. It is very like non-translucent, like light barely gets through it. It is thick.
Yeah, it is. You made a fruit juice, fruit smoothie at home. This is what it is. It looks just like that. It does not resemble beer whatsoever. All right, for aroma, varies by base style. Fruit aroma should be noticeable but not overpowering, ranging from subtle to aggressive depending on the type of fruit used. The beer should have a sharply sour character with a clean fermentation and a supportive pale malt flavor.
I think it smells great. Now, with that said, it's super punchy, has like a sweet note to it. Tropical fruits definitely take over the flavor, the like nose itself. I think pineapple might be the most apparent smell, but you also have quite a bit of mango in there. And then a little bit of subtle strawberry on the back end to kind of round it out with some sweetness. Maybe that's the marshmallow. But there is this little bit of like citrus note that I can't detect like what it is. But it does have quite like a citrus
profile.
Probably
the mango. Is it mango citrusy?
I mean, I think pineapple and mango are both citrusy.
Probably true.
But it's almost like a tangerine-y or like an orangey profile.
I mean, that is the thing with these is they all smell fantastic. How many times do you get a fruit smoothie and be like, man, this smells like shit?
It depends on the fruits.
I mean, yeah, it's probably true. I can't say I've ever had that happen. So, like, this is great. Like, I love pineapple. I love mango. I love strawberry. And who the fuck doesn't love marshmallow? You can't smell it, but
you know it's there.
It smells fantastic.
It does, but this also, like, has that tart smell that I think Hoosier Beer was missing.
Yeah. You're not wrong. There is a bit of a tarty sourness smell that is present.
Yep.
That was maybe missing, but I guess is that a factor of the style too? Because that was a Philly sour versus a kettle sour. And then how much of that is the fruit base? And then, you know, is this real fruit versus puree versus fake fruit? Like, you got so many levels to it of like, well, why is that happening? So who knows? But from an aroma standpoint, I think it smells great. It does not really smell like beer to me. Like, if you put this in front of me without telling me what it was, one, I would tell you, take it back because it looks disgusting. Just, I'm sorry. I'm wondering if it's the marshmallow that maybe did that to the head.
Maybe.
You know, because it kind of has that fluffy marshmallowy look to it.
Nutter.
But, you know, when I smell it, it's like, oh, okay. This smells pretty good. Like, I would drink it based on the smell alone. Flavor. So here we go. The fruit flavor should be distinctive, noticeable, but not overpowering or artificial. We already know it's not going to meet that. The resulting flavor profile should be balanced with appropriate bitterness, hop and malt flavors, alcohol content, and fermentation byproducts, with a clean lactic sourness that dominates the finish.
Let me start with, it tastes very similar to the smell, to the aroma. I think it may be a little sweeter than the aroma, and that's probably the marshmallow, because it's hard to smell marshmallow. but it is very tropical fruit forward. As far as I'm concerned, I think mango may take over the flavor profile. There's a little bit of tartness from the pineapple. It's not a whole lot of strawberry that I can get. Maybe a little on the back end. But I would say it's got a tangy bite to it that I love. Something about, like, I don't know what's tangy in it, but it does have that, like, tangy, citrusy note in the middle. And then it just lingers and has a bit of acidity on the finish. I think it's pretty solid. I mean, flavor-wise, I'm not mad at it. Is it beer-like? Not really, but there is the tartness that I want from a fruited kettle sour. That could be the fruits itself, though. So
I was going to say, the problem I have is this tastes wonderful, just like Hoosier Brewing's did. Like, there wasn't anything wrong with Hoosier Brewing's, you know, quote-unquote, beer. But it's the same problem I have with this one, is this doesn't taste like beer. Like, even that tart sourness doesn't remind me of a sour beer. Because what was it that we had not long... Was it the same... It was
Ghost Champ.
Yeah. That was a fruited Berliner Weiss. That was a Berliner Weiss first that had fruit in it. And that's... I know that's not what the smoothie sour style is. And I know that maybe we should just stop bringing these damn beers on, because I don't think it's going to change our minds. But I guess... Well, the way we look at it is you just never know.
And I mean, I like it. I'm not mad at it.
No, I'm not either. I'm mad that you call it beer and you charge $8 for it, because would you pay $8 for this if it was labeled as a fruit smoothie? That's kind of my...
No, but fruit smoothies don't have 7% beer or alcohol in it either.
Yeah, but are we... One, we've known that sometimes that can be false advertising. And B, I guess, are you actually going to sit down and drink enough of these for that to matter? Like, 1 7% probably isn't going to do much.
Depending on where I'm at. If I really just don't want to remember the night, yeah, sure. But if I also want to get sick from fucking diabetes.
True. For me, the flavor is great. Like, if you took a significant other who doesn't really like beer and you gave them, but they like fruit type stuff and they like some sours, yeah, you could easily get them to drink this and they would probably like it.
I want to pour a Berliner Weiss into this. Just like a straight Berliner, and make it the perfect fruited Berliner.
I can't wrap my head around these beers. I just cannot. No matter how many I drink, no matter how much I listen to other people, no matter how many brewers that we know who talk about them, I just cannot wrap my head around why this beer style is even a thing. I don't know. All right, last thing here is the mouthfeel. The addition of fruit often reduces the body and makes the beer feel lighter on the palate, but some fruits may add tannic depth. Beer should have a light body, moderate to high carbonation, and a crisp acidity without any overpowering alcohol character.
It is rich, thick, very, like, coating. I don't know the best way to describe that.
Yeah, but it coats your mouth. It's like drinking tomato juice, like in that aspect. It's that thick. I think I said it was, what, V8? Mm-hmm. It reminds me of drinking like a V8, their smoothie series, or even just a regular V8. Just that thick coatiness to it.
Now, I can, unlike some of the others, there is a little bit of, it's not visible because you can't fucking see in this, but there is some carbonation in this that I'm still pulling.
Yeah, it is definitely a nicely carbed beverage.
Yeah, it's like an effervescent as opposed to being like super carbed, but the like essence of carb is there. I mean, as far as mouthfeel goes, this is what I want in a smoothie beer. If you're going to drink a smoothie beer, you want it to feel like this. You want that thick, like chewy texture the whole way, but I don't feel like I'm chewing on pieces of fucking fruit like I've literally had from some other breweries where you pulled the tap handle and it glooped out.
I remember that.
It like chunks were falling out of the faucet like that.
Like a slushy.
Yeah. Like that's just not, no, this would have poured like a fucking liquid at least. And I mean, all in all,
or at least you think, I mean, something that's in a fridge and a chiller may not.
I mean, this poured fine.
Yeah, but it's in a can, and I don't know. I just feel like they're... I could see a beer like this pouring a little goopy.
All in all, this is a fruited, heavily fruited smoothie-style beer. Now, here at Barrel Chat, there tends to be a little hatred towards them. This one, to me, is a little bit different because I feel like I can still pull some of the tartness, and that may just be the fruits, but I do get something that's interesting to me in this beer that isn't just sweetness from fruit.
There is a sourness to it. Like, I definitely give it that, and I feel like if we were to say which one do we like more between this and the Hoosier Brewing, my belief is that we would both say this, and the main reason being you got some sourness out of it, which at least in our brain says, okay, there's at least a beer element that we didn't really get.
Something.
We just didn't get with the Hoosier Brewing.
Ah, there's like a sweet tart note. That's like the kind of like tartness that I've got.
Yep. Yeah. Now that you say that.
Like crunching on a sweet tart.
Mm-hmm.
Something about like the sweet tart is very reminiscent to the tartness that I get in this.
All right. Is it going on our top 50 specialty list?
I think it should go on the same list that Hoosier goes on.
Yeah, right now it's just you're on your own.
We're gonna work on a cool list.
Yeah, we're gonna work on something because
it's only fair to put them on things because, I mean, it was brewed.
But I just feel like they would be at the bottom, and then you have to fuck with Ardent, and I'm not ready to move Ardent up.
Well, it's not. It's not fair to this beer either to say that it's worse than Ardent, because I don't think that it is.
No, like I would drink this and Hoosier over Ardent again, at least that version of Ardent. You know, again, could have been bad, but like if you handed me that exact same Ardent beer, I would not want it at all. I would take either of these over it in a heartbeat.
I will say this is a shining fucking example of this beer style, though.
I think I'd have to agree. I think there is something that feels a little bit more quality to it than the ones that we've had from like 450 and Hoosier so far. And maybe we just start like a smoothie sour.
That's fine. It could be its own episodes.
I was going to say it could just be its own top 50 list. And
well, because if we did its own episodes, it could literally be no BJCP and it's just...
Yeah, that is probably
just fucking drink true. The beer, tell you what you get out of it, and put it on the list. Say, this is number one. This is the best smoothie-style beer that the Barrel Chat podcast has had.
That is true. Yeah, we'd have to start trying to find some of those, but...
Shouldn't be that hard. We live in the smoothie beer state.
I mean, that is true. But dear God, I'd want something other than just those two.
Well, we can make that happen, too. I've got friends in high places, but...
All right, well... We're going to leave it off, and we're going to say, at least as of right now, it's on the smoothie sour beer list top 50.
As number one.
It's number one, with number two being the Hoosier Brewing payout, spin the win, whatever version of that we had, because I don't remember all the adjuncts in that, and they make like 45 variations of that beer. So
if this is your style, if this is your thing, find the beer, pay the money for it. It's fucking good.
It's worth at least trying.
It's good. If it's definitely the style that you love, it's definitely worth the money. On that note.
Yeah, that's going to do it. So make sure you follow us on Instagram. You know, we're going to have a Friday 4-pack this week. Don't really know what's going to be on that yet, since we're recording this 2 weeks in advance. But make sure you check that out. You know, let your friends know about this show, you know, help our listenership kind of go up, and make sure on Instagram, you know, if you like our stuff, like it, share it, let us know what you think about the beers that we try. Cause a lot of these, I know damn well that people have tried the beers. So it would be good to know, you know, what else, what do you like or dislike about some of the beers? Do you agree with our rankings? Do you agree with our assessment of the beers? Just let us know. But we will see you all on Friday. Cheers.
Cheers.